RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
Oh, ho-hum.
Nine. Is that a meme of a bad quarterback? Is it a mere number? No. It is currently the Buffalo Sabres warpath.
Man, they can't lose right now. They are even getting like some of the craziest puck luck I've seen. Of just like, oh, that didn't go in. Phenomenal. Empty net goal. Great. The last 30 seconds of that game, because once Krebs puts the empty netter in, it's over with. Unbelievable run of events where I am just both glued to the TV. I'm gripping whatever close to me because it looks like, oh, no, they're going to let this one go. Lion, I thought I was with Joe, Sneaky Joe. I thought he was going to get a tripping call on that. Doesn't. And then 5 seconds later, Peyton Krebs from basically across the ice.
That would have been icing if he misses it.
Yeah. Empty netter, 4-2 win. Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Just, man, they're so much fun. And Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive, whatever you're looking for. You'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. They're a genuine joy to watch. They're getting contributions from, it feels like, everybody. They're grinding games out. They're also just... at time, you know, it's a 4-2 game and it takes the empty netter to get to four. But also, I would at least say definitely these past three games, the shot totals, the shot numbers compared to the other teams, they are smothering them.
Puck possession.
Man, it's been so much fun to watch. There are signs that maybe it's a bit fluky. And, well, yeah, I mean, I think any 9-10 game win streak is in some ways fluky. You're probably going to regress somewhat to a median. But I don't really care. I'm having a blast. We heard Paul Hamilton on earlier today with Joe and Nate, and we'll talk to Paul in about an hour and a half at 11:30. You know, talking about point percentage right now with that, they would be in the playoffs. They're right now tied for that last wild card spot. I think if Florida would have lost yesterday, they would have been in it going into the New Year's Eve game tomorrow against Dallas. But it's been so much fun, and it is somewhat funny. I think no doubt. That this streak did start when Kevin Adams was still the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Jarmo Kekäläinen has not made a single move outside of sending some guys down to Rochester because Jason Zucker got healthy. You know, it is the team Kevin Adams did build. Like, ultimately, that is objectively a fact. And yet, I think most people would acknowledge they probably continue to go on the streak because they do fire Adams. Something has changed in that building. There is much more consistency in the performances. There does seem to be a natural flow with the lineup. Guys seem to be in much better spirits. Obviously, winning is going to help that, of course. But it does almost just feel like a specter around the organization was, you know, in a sense, exercised. And now they're able to just kind of play. It still feels like they're just playing free.
And there's a lot that has to be talked about with the Sabres in terms of how everything is going. By the way, 803-0550 if you want to get in on this. Because the idea of today is, are you bought in? Are you bought in on this crazy season? Or are you still keeping them at an arm's length? That is the question we put up on Twitter. It is the question that I really have for today based on the vibes of it. Because, and weirdly enough, they've won 9 games in a row, Zach. They're not officially in a playoff spot.
No, and that's the thing.
They're in ninth.
Yeah, Paul was saying it based off of point percentage, but if you look at the standings now, they're not in it yet. It is funny, though. Paul's entire premise of this now, like a month ago, was they're going to need to go on like a 7-plus game win streak to even have a chance.
And the way you looked at them,
and they're still not in.
And the way you looked at them,
mm-hmm.
there was no way you saw this coming.
Right.
I do think there's a lot of things to theorize about this team. I do think there's going to be a lot of discussion about Adams, the role that he had, and how it all of a sudden is working now. Because that's the thing that's the true mystery in all this. They've won 9 games in a row. They're playing defensively responsible hockey. And all of a sudden, it just turns into, yeah, this is the same team that started out and ended up in last place in the Eastern Conference. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Because the streak starts while Adams is still employed.
What are they, 3-0 when he's fired?
Mm-hmm.
It's 3 straight when
they're fired. It's 3 straight when they get there. But it's also, you started 0-3 on that Western trip.
Mm-hmm.
Then the picture of Vecna's clock is on social media, and all of a sudden, the Sabres start racing off to wins. Adams is then let go, and here we are. 6 more wins later, after Kekkonen was brought into the fold officially as the GM, they're still not losing. So there is a little bit of a mystery into, okay, what gives? This is the same team from earlier this year. This is the same team that started 0-3. This is the same team that lost 5 in a row. This is the same team that had 4 of 5 games go to overtime, and they only won the one in a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't solve overtime. This is that same team. What's different? And when you watch the game contextually, it is better defense. When you watch the game, you are seeing a little bit more balance. When you watch the game, it is everything that you're looking for in terms of cohesion. Everything that you're looking for in terms of your star players are stepping back up. Because they start the year and Tage is not doing well. Tuck isn't doing well. Dahlin is not doing well. We find out really why. He leaves and comes back, and he's mentally recharged to a point where this isn't an accident anymore. The Sabres are playing at a 66% win percentage since he came back.
I mean, we finally just got their first win of the season without Dahlin.
And they finally got their first win in a couple of years without Dahlin. They are playing now with a sense of cohesion. And I think that that was a good time that was to happen. Yes, you have an opportunity to win that game because they're streaking already. When Dahlin's out against Boston,
mm-hmm.
they're streaking already. But you also haven't beaten Boston yet this year. They've got you at 0-2 on the season. So you have that problem. You have Dahlin out. Okay, perfect mix. But you're also red hot. And then you stay red hot. Matthias Samuelsson makes one of the most complete plays that you're going to make in a season.
Yep.
Walls off Morgan Geekie, who is second in the league in goals, by the way, for some strange reason. I still refuse to believe this person is the second.
He hasn't had like a run of goals either in a little while. He's somewhat cooled off. Nothing crazy. But
he's still there.
He's still second in goals.
But you wall off Morgan Geekie, not just spring up the offensive play. You take the puck in for the rush, and it leads to a goal seconds later. Directly responsible. Bowen Byram and Owen Power. Guys that have been much maligned, I would say. Power more so than Byram in terms of its criticism. Byram sometimes makes bigger mistakes and is not as highlighted as Power is. But Byram doesn't have that contract. They are having highlight games now. Ottawa. Byram comes up with all 3 points. 2 goals, 1 assist. Power, these last 2 games, he's really carried the defensive responsibility on this team. And I do think that I think they just need to focus on him being the 5-on-5 and PK specialist. Like,
yeah, I'm cool with him really not being much on the power play.
I'm cool with the more offensive defenseman in Byram
mm-hmm.
being the guy on the second power play unit. That's a nitpick. I'm not going to worry about that. But each of them has stepped up lately. Michael Kesselring, it looks like, okay, this trade's kind of looking like, thank goodness you got Josh Doan. He's starting to get his legs under him finally because he starts the year with injury. He gets banged up again just as him and Power are starting to feel a little bit of a flow, and he has to work himself back into it. Not a mistake that it takes a couple games after injuries to get back into the right feel of things. You're getting these good things happening now. Noah Ostlund is becoming a very interesting note in this season. Because when do the rumblings of Adams being removed really start? It's when Ostlund's sent down again. And Lindy Ruff says publicly the only thing wrong with his game is that he was sent down. And then, hours later, I guess you can call it, half a day later, there is, oh, Adams might be on the out.
Yeah, it really may have been the final straw.
Ostlund might have been the final straw. And he's not just playing well defensively, he's now putting some points up on the board. And it comes to a human element that you brought up when we were talking before the show. And I want you to kind of share that one of what is different about them.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it right at the rip of kind of like the idea, and I know we've got a tweet about it as well, so we'll get to that as well. But I think there was really something here, the human element of just I think Mike Shope has brought this up. We've talked about it a little bit with the Bills, but I think especially with the Sabres. When you know management sucks, when you know, and this could be true of your job, of their job, whatever, when you know your bosses are not giving their best or doing their best, shouldn't be in their position, what have you, it is hard to go to work and to keep trying to keep doing your best or even just put your best forward because, well, it may not mean anything. You know, my boss isn't doing his best. He doesn't deserve to be here. They're not going to do anything to me. I'm fine. I think it's a very human thing. I think as well, you've mentioned it too, last year, 4 months, you had to go into work knowing we're not making the playoffs. This does not matter. And for some of them, maybe I'm just putting my career at risk. I might get hurt. These are essentially exhibition games in many cases. The feeling.
And it's just demoralizing knowing that anything I do out there isn't really going to matter for 4 months last year.
Where I think, and mainly just because of how you see how Yarmo gets the job, there was probably feelings within the building, players. I mean, if anyone's been on a sports team, it doesn't really matter what the team is actually doing. The players will talk. The players will have their own feelings, their own theories. As many of these guys will probably say, no, we don't even think about it. Yes, they do. At least some of them. Yarmo's hired.
Hockey players are very media trained.
Right.
And by that, I mean they say nothing.
They will be boring in when they talk to the media. And so, like you see, like Yarmo gets hired as ultimately he's going to just help out. He doesn't really have like a serious official role. He's more just going to be a consultant that comes in and just kind of helps out and is kind of an earpiece for Adams to kind of get the best idea. You don't think some of these guys saw that and went, well, Yarmo's going to be our GM in 5 minutes. Why isn't he just our GM? And then as the rumblings start to come, and that's the thing too, they start to win, and even when that happens, there's already rumblings that he might get fired when they return from the road trip. I mean, he's fired when they've won 3 in a row, their first time winning that many games in a row all season. And so I think there is something here of just, that's why I mentioned, like there was a specter around the organization that they were able to get rid of. I think that's what it is for a lot of these guys, is just now it feels more serious. I think even for some of these players, it actually feels like they're a real hockey team. They played a part in this. That is not
right
to exonerate the players on the ice. They absolutely played a part in this. Lindy Ruff, the head coach, has played a part in this. But this also points to what many people in hockey have been saying for a few years now about the Sabres, which is they're talented. I kind of don't know why they're so bad.
The analytics were really big on them this year. In terms of season projections, the model, everything like that, where everyone's like, okay, it got to a point, Zach, where you and I kept talking about this. I even brought it up on air at some point when no one had appetite to talk about the Sabres because it was Bills season, everything like that. And I said, I'm starting to get scared.
Right,
they're all too bullish.
Yeah, people are believing, and it's people who have been they've been in the know on this stuff. They've been able to get it right and kind
it's
of
that the Sabres keep matching the projection models. Mm-hmm. And like we used to get mad when the analytic models would say, no, the Sabres aren't a playoff team. And we're all like, what are you talking about? They look fine out there. and then they would ultimately be proven right. We, as a Sabres community, have probably embraced it more than others because we keep seeing, yeah, they've got us out of the playoffs. That sounds about right. And this year, it was, no, they're going to take third in the Atlantic. They're going to be a wild card team. They're gonna do things this year. And we're all like, okay, sure. Are you okay with that? Like, Sabres Twitter is a fun ride with that because you'll get immediate loyalty from people, but it's almost as a joke to start the year. And now it's turning around because the projection models really were at, you can't consistently be this bad with goaltending and special teams.
No, right. It was you were going to regress positively to, okay, yeah, you're going to be average at that.
You're going to be, if you
get
average,
worst, you're going to be average.
If you get average from both of these things, you'll be fine. And look what's happening. 803-0550 is the number to call as we get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia. What's New York's number one Kia dealer? Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go to John in Batavia. John, welcome to the Extra Point Show. What you got for us?
Hello, thanks for the show. I'm hesitantly saying yes, I believe in this team. I've been having some arguments with my friend and my brother who was kind of burnt out, and they remember the 10-game win streak back in 2018, but that 10-game win streak, that was a result of hot goaltending. There was a lot of overtime and shootout victories. This is more legit. I mean, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs this year, but at the very least, they should. At the very least, be a few points short. I expect this team to be exciting and keep it interesting, but I have very cautious optimism. Do you agree? I'll hang up and listen.
John, thanks for the call, man. I think that's. I will not disparage anyone that looks to 2018, 2019, that 10-game win streak, and goes, "No, I've been burned before." I totally get it. And that was earlier in the season where you were building up leg room there. I mean, like that was done in November, and you could have a bit of a rough run and then pick it back up. Like, this is, you know, December, January. We're getting towards, it's still February, but we're getting towards the Olympic break.
We're launching to the halfway point. We're almost there.
That's when this team goes on that run. But John brings up a good point that Derek, me and you talked about a lot last week. That 10-game win streak, 7 of the 10 wins are overtime or shootout. Now we're at the point 3 of the 9 wins of this streak were overtime or shootout.
And now you're looking at a different perspective of, now they're showing that they can win these games in regulation, a bugaboo that they had to start the year, as a matter of fact. Some of their overtime losses were not the scrappy, we stole a point. It was the, we gave it up.
Right, and that's where, when me and Paul were talking about that, when we were doing it at the time, we're both like, I hate getting greedy, because we've talked about it for years of get loser points. Now they're getting loser points, but we're like, but not like that.
But you're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. You're not stealing a point on the road. You were, guys, you were up 3-1. You gave up three ultimately unanswered goals to lose in overtime. What are we doing here?
Or even the games that you managed to win that ultimately are like the shootout wins or something like that, or even some of the overtime wins. Even one of these wins that starts it, actually, the first win of the streak, Edmonton, they score with less than 2 seconds left?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And you have to then grab it back, which you do almost immediately in overtime, actually. But those overtime losses, they were also your big players, your top billing guys are making catastrophic mistakes in 3-on-3. Whether it's having a blown tire, flubbing on a chance, there's the Quinn and Power both not getting a shot on goal on a what ultimately turns into like a 3-on-1 situation, because then Power follows it up and it just like loses off of his stick. There's Thompson trying to get too greedy at one point on one of them, like Quinn passing up another shot. Like, there were a lot of mistakes being made in those overtime losses, or even the ones that they managed to pull off. But the OTLs, they were really catastrophic. To a point where it's like, okay, maybe we don't go to overtime anymore, guys. Like, I've had my fill.
We've done enough of this.
We've done enough. And the one that they win, because it's hilarious that they had 5 games that go to overtime in a row. But the one that they win, they're surviving against the Capitals. They take a penalty in overtime. Yet, Lukanen spinning on his head, making sure the game stays alive, and then they win it in a shootout. But the things that they're fixing from earlier in the year, they were allergic to winning away from KeyBank Center.
I was about to say, I'm like, we're not even bringing it up, but most of this win streak, and still my favorite part about it, is the fact that it has effectively fixed their road woes. I'm not asking for a team to be well over 500 on the road. Like, if you're as dominant as they are at home, and they are one of the best, not just in the East, but in the NHL this year at home, but they were equally one of the worst on the road, and they've all but effectively fixed that just in this win streak alone.
It's kind of funny because you look at two teams with this on opposite ends of the spectrum. The Sabres, despite winning six games on the road, are now like turning into a middle or bottom of like below average road record.
I think they're 8-9-2.
They are 8-9-2.
Yeah.
And they have the best points percentage in the Eastern Conference at home. Then you look over at the New York Rangers, a team that has one less point than Buffalo, though they've also played three more games. But at home, they're 5-10-3.
Yeah, they can't
the
win.
Rangers have the best road record in the Eastern Conference. Nearly the NHL, but Colorado refuses to lose games in regulation.
Yeah, they just don't lose, yeah.
They're
incredible.
No, they're obnoxious. They have two regulation losses the entire year. Both of them are on the road. They have yet to lose in regulation in front of their own fans.
That's incredible.
16-0-2. Absolutely wild
incredible.
Stuff.
Incredible.
But the Sabres are not just winning in front of the fans now. Now they're winning on the road. And now they're showing that they can be a real boy. Puppet stage is over. Pinocchio's a real boy. We're hanging out here. But the damage that they did to start the year, we're having all this kind of fun with them, right? They could still very much not make the playoffs because if the season were to end today based on points percentage, they would make it. But, no, they would not, actually. Excuse me. They still would be out.
I mean, even before this win streak starts, they lose three. They lose the first three of that road trip.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, we've talked about it. They did a lot of damage themselves. They weren't even a particularly bad team. They were kind of flirting with 500 really up until the streak started.
Right.
And but, yeah, now though, they sit at 20, 14, 4, 44 points. They're right there. They have now at least made it to where I think even fans that aren't fully bought in, and again, 803-0550, the number to call, give your thoughts on where you sit with the Sabres. Are you all in on this with nine wins in a row and the January schedule looking pretty juicy for the Sabres to at least kind of continue their winning ways? Maybe not necessarily get their streak to 15 or anything like that. They got to go to Dallas tomorrow, but at least in the sense of, no, this could still look very well. But they did do some damage, and now they've righted the ship, and they haven't even made a move yet. That is still what gets me, outside of the road wins being kind of, you know, the road woes being fixed, that is still maybe I think the most exciting thing is that this is the exact same team. Nothing on paper has changed yet with the change at GM. That gets me real excited going forward. 803-0550, again, the number two call. We'll get more on the Sabres at 11:30 with Paul Hamilton. We've also got primetime players coming up at the top of the hour, but in between all of that, it's your time to shine. Jump in. Give us your thoughts on the Sabres. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Our number one continues to roll along here on a Tuesday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sabres have won nine in a row. If you're wondering why we're not talking about the Bills, well, they're playing the Jets and probably their backups will all be playing.
Yeah, Sunday is going to be unfortunately boring. In a lot of ways, the one that is like this is the final game of that Highmark Stadium. It moves across the street next year. So, yeah, that part is – I hate to say it like this. That part's probably the only storyline. Because the Bills will even know heading into the game how many yards they need to give James Cook for the rushing title.
I was talking with my buddy, and he's like, do we play Cook? And I'm like, I literally think it'll come down to did Jonathan Taylor pass him or not.
And it'll probably be two quarters worth of work. It's the Jets.
Yeah.
It's the Jets. He could probably get it on one run.
That was a lifeless performance by them. Real quick, lifeless performance by them against Drake May and the Patriots. I made a joke that I was like, Man, this is a team that looks like they want their coach fired. Just saying. That was really embarrassing for the Jets.
And that's on their standards.
And this is for somebody, like, I was a big Aaron Glenn believer. I thought that was a great hire for the Jets. I thought it was kind of like, I thought it was a great idea to grab from Detroit, who is a disastrous franchise, inarguably bad ownership and everything they were doing there. I thought that was a great move for them. On one side, it has worked. The Bears with Ben Johnson, like, worked. They're not going to be the one seed, but they won the NFC North this year, and Caleb Williams has looked better and better as the year's gone on. His stats on the season are a little bit shaky, but as the year's gone on, he's looked pretty good. And I do wonder if it's going to be kind of like a Bruce Arians type situation where season one is dicey, and then from then on, they look like world beaters. You saw that most notably, I think, with like Carson Palmer with Arizona, where his first year in Arizona was a disaster, a ton of picks, the whole thing. The rest of his time there until he is done is very, very good. So it worked really well for the Bears and Ben Johnson. It is, I mean, on the other side, Ben is equally a disaster for the Jets and Aaron Glenn. And I still like Glenn. I think, though, ownership's bad. The quarterback position was a disaster. And also, I think really just the talent on the roster has probably been, in many ways, very much overblown. With all that being said, though, I will always be worried about a team that has two first-round picks in one draft and three.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
In the very next, that is a lot of high-end talent, and if you nail even 50% of that, that is going to be some really, really good talent.
And if they don't, it will be, okay, yeah, you really are the Jets, and it's a superpower at this point. But enough about one team leading their respective sport in a playoff drought actively right now. Let's go back to the other one in the Buffalo Sabres. Wow, that's a terrible bridge to walk across, but
you're hoping the one ends it finally.
I'm able to connect it nonetheless, but the Sabres have been fun. They've been exciting, and we're taking your calls today, 803-0550. If you want to talk about the Bills as well, we can keep the phone lines open on that for you as well. We're not going to reject callers on that if you're concerned about them. But go to Jim in Wheatfield. Jim, welcome into the Extra Point Show. What you got for us?
Good morning. You're talking to an extremely frustrated fan. I'll get to that in a minute. But I do have one question. What do you think will happen when Zucker returns? I don't know if he's scheduled to return in Dallas, but my initial thought was maybe Krebs goes back down to the fourth line, but I just wonder what your take was on that.
Well, Jim, thanks for the
Jim,
call.
You're reading my mind on that one because that's exactly what I want to have happen. And I think Krebs has been playing okay on the first line. He's had his shining moments now. He's finally getting a couple goals. Empty net scenarios, all of a sudden he's Wayne Gretzky, and I'm okay with that. But it makes too much sense to do something a little different right now because there's a couple of lines that it's not really all the way clicking. I think the simple move is you get Zucker back with McLeod and Quinn because that trio does work pretty well when he's healthy. You move Benson up and you move Krebs down. Done. Because you're the Norris line, Norris, Oslin, Tuck, they've been just fine. Let them cook. But line one's been a little shaky at times right now. Thompson, Doan, Krebs, it doesn't seem like it's consistently giving you everything that it can. And I think part of that is you can get more of those turnovers that Benson forces and start sparking it that way.
I also think the playmaking ability of Benson with Thompson probably helps him get along as well. Because that's a big thing on this win streak too. They are putting up a lot of shots, I think especially in these last four or five games. They're not scoring a crazy amount. It's not like they're winning some of these games 6-2, 7-1, or anything like that where like they're dominating. They're like maxing out at 4. I think there's a 5-goal game in there, but it's a lot of like 3-1, 3-2 wins, and that's where you brought up as well. It's the defense that's really kind of locking this win streak down. They're playing sound. They're getting great goaltending as well, although Alex Lyon was a little shaky to start last night. The thing I'm most excited about with Jason Zucker coming back, Derek, is the power play. It's the one thing I'm constantly nervous about with this team is that they can go into just a barren wasteland on the power play. Even these last three games, which they've won just in these last three, they're 0-for-7 on the power play. And getting Jason Zucker back, who is their top scorer on the power play, both in goals and I believe in points as well, should help them. And I think what has really helped them as well, they've not had to rush him back. They are winning.
Right.
Look, if they were on a losing streak, I think there's a really good chance he plays last night just because we need to do something. We need to change something up. The fact that they've now won 9 in a row, I think, has allowed them to kind of slow play it, wait till he's 100%, wait till he's been able to get some practice under his belt as well. Then you can go and rather than just throw him to the fire and be like, all right, well, figure it out, baby. Because that happened with Michael Kesselring. I mean, well, not to necessarily that extent, but they did rush him back, or at least he rushed himself back, and it wasn't perfect.
Right.
And it did somewhat hurt his start to the season.
And I think the other thing, though, right now is, to help further answer the lineup question on this, it becomes who goes out of the lineup, and the answer is alternating Josh Dunn and Jordan Greenway. Especially because Greenway, they're trying to manage him throughout the season right now. Speaking of a player that might have been rushed back, it might have been Jordan Greenway. But now you can give him every other game at this point. You can alternate him back in the lineup as it is. When Kozak is also into the lineup as well, because he was a scratch yesterday, but he's still banged up. But he was mentioned as well. Player that could be coming back into the lineup soon. All of a sudden, you have players that you can rotate in on the bottom of the roster at the forward core again if you get healthy. And that is all without saying anything about Yuri Kulik and the timeline that will be there with his blood clots. That would be I think that's a March discussion.
And it's always going to be just be up in the air.
Yeah.
You never know. I know Paul's talking about
this. I'm not even
going to
think about Yuri Kulik coming back in the lineup until about March, but it's at least, hey, don't forget about this kid.
Right.
Because he's still here too. I will be interested to see what they do with the lineup with Zucker coming back. But I think the easy move is Benson to Thompson and Doan. Krebs down to fourth line. Zucker with McLeod and Quinn because they work well together. Because in the NHL, you typically want to work with things in duos. That's how you do it. And right now what I'm seeing is a duo that clicks with Norris and Oslin have been fantastic together.
Yeah.
And it's weird because Tuck is the third player that is on that line. But those two seem to have a connection in Oslin and Norris. McLeod and Zucker is a duo they like to keep together. Over this past year and change, it is typically those two are together. They do well. And Quinn is your extra player that you add into that. Benson seems to work with anybody. So why not back up on line one? Because right now it looks like the duo that you're trying to work with is Doan and Thompson. They could elevate Tuck to that top line with Thompson and see if they can go with...
I wouldn't be surprised by that either,
Thompson,
by the way.
Tuck, Benson.
Yeah, I would not be surprised by that either. Just to get like the most out of your high-end talent. Mm-hmm. That was, by the way, last night...
That means you put Dome with the duo of Oslin and Norris.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll sign up for that.
You could sign up for that. But on Tuck, though, you could do that just because last night was his first goal since early December.
Yeah.
I mean, he went... for most of the streak, he kind of hasn't been all that involved, at least on the score sheet.
Right.
Especially from goal scoring. I could see that in that sense, too, of just let's get the high-end guys going. We're getting really good defense. The scoring has been somewhat the thing that's letting us down a little bit here. We're winning. But
But it looks a little like the classic Lindy strat of balance.
Right. You're getting balance. You're getting depth scoring out of this. But it's also one of these things I brought up last week when I think we were, what, at like 6-7 wins? You can still change it up. You don't have to like wait for the first loss and then go, okay, well, now we're going to shuffle the board. You can keep shuffling the board just to keep getting the most out of this. Because what is most important is not necessarily this win streak. It is how you handle after the first loss. It is how you go to that next step. Because that's where, when people bring up the 10-game win streak in 18-19, everyone does point to, they immediately have a long losing streak.
Right.
And that's where and that's why I do bring up the January schedule of, you'll start the new year at Columbus, home against Vancouver, at the Rangers. We mentioned the Rangers, how bad they are at MSG. Vancouver's having a bad year. Columbus is having a bad year. I think Columbus now is last in the
East. Columbus is last in the East now.
And so you've got a really good opportunity there that even if you lose to Dallas, those are three very winnable games right there, right away to start January. And you're starting to get healthier, but that's going to be the most important thing. So I don't want them to wait for the first loss to all of a sudden shuffle the board and just kind of keep the good vibes going. There is some worry to that of you shuffle it and then you screw everything up. I'm not going to deny that. But I don't want to wait for the first loss because you are bringing in a guy like Zucker
I'd
rather it be against Dallas, but you're bringing a guy like Zucker back who's going to help on the power play. He should go right back to being one of their main men there. And then as well, you're already seeing it, the first and third line. You know, they maybe have run out of gas. They maybe do need that shakeup anyways. The fourth line's been great. The second line, well, ultimately the second line, the Norris and Benson stuff, that's been great. But you can shake it up. And I kind of want them to. Just a little bit, because this is now starting to look like a team that can go on a run here. It's the after the first loss that is going to be the most crucial here, wherever that happens. Yep. I'm not saying it's going to happen in Dallas. It could be the Rangers, for all we know. Like, we're mentioning how bad they are at MSG. It could be that game, and they could break records here. But it's going to happen. And when it does, that's the most important part, is what do you do after that?
And that's the key to all of this, is that, yeah, the Sabres have won 9 in a row, but there are some pitfalls. They still are tied for a wild card spot, only tied for a wild card spot. And we're just about threatening near the 40-game mark of the season. There's half a year left to go.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that has to be considered throughout. How do you respond after you take that first loss? How do you respond after finally not being able to come away with a win? Because it's been 3 weeks since you've lost a hockey game. Wild stuff.
It's been a little bit.
But how do you respond after the loss? That's the big deal. That's something that Lindy Ruff has mentioned before. It's about how you respond to the losses. Not how you respond to wins, how you respond to loss.
803-0550, the number to call. We've got primetime players coming up at 11 o'clock. Bunch of great performances, and even, at least for me, a little bit of basketball as well. And then 11:30, we'll talk to Paul Hamilton as, again, we've been talking all morning, Sabres get to 9 in a row. They are on a absolute heater, and I think arguably now at this point, the hottest team in the National Hockey League. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Hour number one. Wow, got there though. Wrapping up here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Zach Jones and Derek Kramer. Talking a lot of Sabres today as the team does get it to 9 straight wins following last night's 4-2 win over St. Louis. It was dicey at the end. Alex Lyon makes an unreal save. And Peyton Krebs continues to be Michael Jordan of empty netters.
What's funnier about that, by the way?
Incredible.
First of all, why'd you mix sports on that one? I don't know why you did that.
MJ, baby.
You could have just said Gretzky it, like I did.
I mean, I don't know. Was Gretzky that good at the empty netters? I don't know.
He was good at everything.
I mean, yes, I assume, but I don't want to like find out later. But God, Zach, he was terrible at those.
Is Michael Jordan good at empty netters?
I assume, probably.
Every net is empty, actually, exactly. In a basketball game, I guess.
Exactly.
I guess. Unless you're dealing with
Dikembe Mutombo.
Victor Wembanyama.
No, no, no. Not in my house.
Yeah, so ultimately it worked.
Okay, sure. But anyway, more importantly to that, just adding to the last like bit of chaos on that, Lyon dives back across. He does not have his glove.
No, no.
So if the play does not get out of the zone, you have a goaltender without a glove who has to then try to stop a puck with his bare hand because the reflexes are going to make him do it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. That'd be terrifying. I'm like, okay, Alex Lyon's out 68 weeks with a broken hand because he caught a puck.
I didn't even think about that. Literally the whole time, like even after Krebs scores, I'm like, oh, it's going to get called back because he's going to get a tripping call. No, we didn't. Okay, we won. Like, I waited a little while to say anything about it.
The glove is sitting there at the back of the wall.
Oh, boy.
Because he was that much of, oh, crap.
Yeah, I'm watching a video on it now. Man.
Yeah, oh. It's fun to watch.
Fun game. Fun run right now. 803-0550, the number to call. We're taking calls a lot this morning. We'll keep doing that here. And next up is Vince on the line. Vince, how we doing?
Hey, good, thanks. Obviously, the win streak has coincided more or less with the change in general manager. You guys are making the case that it's pretty much directly related to that. How would that change at general manager actually affect the players on the ice? So what specifically do you think they're – how did it affect them specifically? I mean, other than just, you know, having the change itself.
Yeah, Vince, thanks for the call. For me, to make it like the most simple possible, mental. The bad boss is fired in many ways probably for them. The good boss is in, and there's now, I think, a sense of belief that the team is actually being run properly.
I might even go ahead and say something a little bit on accountability. You want to prove to the new boss that you're worth keeping.
And that is, I think, absolutely true as well. Because I've mentioned it a lot. I think like 90% of this roster is playing like, in a sense, they're playing for their job.
As a matter of fact, you could look at the accountability part of it and impressing a new boss, because one of the shakier players after the GM change was Power. That game against the Flyers, he was dreadful for 40 minutes. Like, almost like I couldn't trust him to be on the ice. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it was like 30 seconds in, Power lets up a pizza right up the middle of the ice for a turnover and lines up to the task to make the save. So yeah, it is a little bit of, it's the human element. And I think that's why we're kind of correlating it that way, Vince, of sometimes you have a reaction, a mental reaction to a new boss being there. And that's in any step of life.
With all that being said, though, the longer this goes with Yarmo not making a move and the team, you know, keeps winning, we are going to have to, even if you don't want to, you have to acknowledge this is ultimately the team that Kevin Adams did build and put on the ice game one. They've had some injuries. Don't
get
me wrong.
You were just late.
Right. And so, like, it will always come back to this with Adams. It was the inaction at crucial times to make a move, to do something to...
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Fix the team because, yeah, you go through slumps, it happens. But those lengthy losing streaks, not even sending someone down to Rochester, not even bringing somebody up, you know, in the offseason, 23, when you had everyone believing you were a young, fun, you know, respectable hockey team, not really doing anything. That's ultimately what gets him fired. It really, in many ways, is not actually even the trades he did make or even the team makeup he did build. It was the other things that just stopped him from ever taking, I think, another step as a general manager. We'll see if he ever gets another shot in hockey again, but the more the Sabres win, he should and will
the
probably put this on his resume.
Yeah,
absolutely. Get the number to call, 803-0550. We'll take one more here before we hit our next timeout. Jerry is on the line. Jerry, how are we doing?
Good this morning. I've waited you know, almost 2 days to talk about this, and I'm going to give you two things that most people really don't understand about what happened on Sunday. First, I go for two every time there, and I'll tell you why. Maybe they didn't convert the two-point conversion because our quarterback right now is physically and mentally shot. So, you know what? Let's make him play another 10 minutes in adverse conditions against a very aggressive defense. That sounds like a great idea. You go for the win there, and if you don't get it, you don't get it. It was a sense close to a meaningless game. I know mentally we loved it, but he makes that bad throw. I think he's tired, and I think he's hurt, and I think he needs this week off. And there was no good reason to play another 10 minutes against a super aggressive defense. Now, the other thing I had a problem with the past 2 days is all these people talking about how we leave points on the field. You know, the game script doesn't go the same if you take the points. And I'll give you a perfect example. On the fourth down where we turn it over at the one, if we had kicked the field goal there, Philly doesn't get the ball at the one. They get the ball after a kickoff. That's how we had good field position the rest of the game, because we kept going and not getting it. We had shorter fields. There's no reason to think that Philly was going to punt it back to us when they got it at the 35 or the 30 after a kickoff. You cannot think the game script is going to go exactly the same because you kicked the field goal. It's not going to go the same. Field position changed.
Jerry, I am absolutely in agreement with
95%?
99%, because I'm like, because I don't know.
What's the what?
Josh Allen. I don't totally know if he's like mentally exhausted. He definitely physically. I don't know the guy personally. I'm not inside his head, so I don't want to say that for sure. But after that, I'm in agreement with Jerry. I'd go for two every single time.
Yeah.
End of the game. You have the best red zone weapon in the sport. Go for it.
It's also just the simple matter of this game has not gone the way that you wanted it to, and yet you have a chance to walk away into the locker room with a win. What would have to take over your head to go, nah, let's give Philadelphia a chance?
Well,
no.
And quickly on that too, and because I saw it all over social media, Bills had, for people that were disagreeing with the 2-point, Bills had all the momentum.
Nah,
momentum is a fickle mistress. You all of a sudden just kick the extra point and it's 13-13, we're going overtime. That gives Philly life. Now all of a sudden it's like we just need one drive. One drive. And they have elite talent across the board on the offense. It has not been a good year for them, no doubt. And yet they win these close games. All it takes is one A.J. Brown gets behind the defense, and we've got a problem. Saquon Barkley breaks off a run against ultimately a bad run defense, although they had a great game on Sunday. I don't really want to give them a chance when I have effectively grabbed the game. Just end it. And to Jerry's point as well, my quarterback's also taking a huge beating. I kind of want to wrap this up.
Yeah.
I kind of want to be done.
Let's get out of here.
803-0550, again, the number to call. Primetime Players coming up next. We've also got Paul Hamilton joining the show at 11:30. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
I can't believe it. 9 in a row. Mike Kelly, he sent me a chart. It talks about the most scoring chances generated. They're like 28th, 29th in the league right now, and they have the highest, hottest save percentage going. So the fact that the Buffalo Sabres have done this with that big of a discrepancy in like good save percentage and capitalizing on everything and riding the hot stick, I can't believe it. Buffalo, celebrate. Dallas is next. 10 in a row. Let's keep it going, baby. Is that what a Buffalo says? I don't know, baby.
Paul Bissonnette there. That was on his Twitter last night after the win against St. Louis.
You know, I have a very...
I assume that's what a Buffalo sounds like.
Sure. But I have like a conflicted feeling on Paul Bissonnette. This is a guy that last year said, oh, Darlene is gonzos.
Yeah.
Sure, buddy. You just... And he's admitted, no, I just want him on the Leafs.
Respect. I respect that.
My culture is not your costume, okay?
I respect that.
Like that... That's the part I'm having a problem with. But then also, I do recognize Chicklets is a important piece within the hockey mm-hmm. community, within the players themselves. Plenty of players will go on that show. I do need them to talk up Buffalo. But at the same time, I'm with Sabres admin.
Yeah.
Want a full apology video with tears.
Also, by the way, the admin battle last night. St. Louis.
I
know what you're doing, but like, what do you mean you don't know what a saber is? It's a sword.
Yeah.
TJ Luckman, Sabres producer, also, you know, yep. jumps on, especially for draft coverage and all that stuff. Lightsaber. Star Wars, like the biggest IP in the world. You didn't know what a saber? That's stupid. Take that out.
Love it. Love it.
I just like that we can now talk trash and they're winning. So it's not, it doesn't,
oh my God, it's
not,
it's so
not
hot.
Cringe or just like, oh, okay, guys, read the room.
It's so
not
hot.
That right now. Oh, 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get to prime players here in just a moment, but first, we'll keep taking calls here. Flynn is up next. Flynn, how we doing?
Good, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
Hey, calling from Nashville here. I know you guys touched it on this morning with the power play. I do believe Zucker being back would be a big help. I just mm-hmm. didn't know what you thought in the short term here, if Benson's the answer on the power play number one. And also, do you think Buffalo's going to make any moves here maybe before the Olympic break? We saw that Igor got traded from Columbus yesterday to Pittsburgh. Oh. So I wasn't sure if you guys thought of any moves here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, Flynn, I thought that was going to be
Thanks, Flynn.
I thought that was going to be the Sabres trade. I really, because, and everyone
but
got there
Pittsburgh
around the same
said,
time.
Hey, we're going to give you a roster player and picks. And then I'm like, yo, wait, what? All of hockey Twitter was like, wait, what?
But everyone also got there at the same time where it's like, oh, this is Yarmo's guy. He drafted him in 20. He's young. He's got a good shot. Here we go. And it's only draft picks. Here we go. Oh, it's Pittsburgh. And then you mentioned all they gave up. Flynn, I will tell you, I do think they will. Mainly, I think Yarmo is going to have to put somewhat of a stamp on this is my team rather than, yeah, I just took the job and Adam's team made the playoffs. I didn't do much.
I will say
I don't know about before the Olympic break, although when's the trade deadline?
Typically in March.
Okay, so maybe around there as well. We've also seen moves get made a little bit earlier.
Let me go ahead and get this for us.
For me, it is now we're getting very close to where I'll start paying attention to bad
March
teams.
March 6th.
March 6th. Okay. So literally right after the Olympics, and within 2 weeks after the Olympics ends. So for me, though, Flynn, I am going to get there very soon. Like not even necessarily 10, 11 wins in a row. Just very soon if they keep the course here to start to look to bad teams and all right, who might become available. I will absolutely start to revisit the Elias Pettersson stuff in Vancouver if they keep losing. St. Louis, they just beat them last night, is a team that I'm constantly looking at their forwards because they've got a lot of young, fun ones, and this year they're not particularly good. My only issue is, and Derek, I know you sit with the same issue, the guy I want is injured in Jordan Kyrou, and I think yours is Dylan Holloway, also yep. injured. And so I'm kind of in this weird spot where I'm like, all right, let's just hang tight. But yeah, I want to see them make a move just because I don't think they're perfect yet. If you look at most of their season-long stats, outside of the penalty kill, they're like 15 to 17 in like all of them,
yeah,
including goals scored and all that.
I will say, the part on the power play here, I do like that they've been more successful by allowing Benson to be more of a puck carrier within mm-hmm. the zone. He's a little more puck dominant within the power play. Between him and Norris, I think that there are better decisions being made. There's now a question, though. Zucker comes back, Zach. Who comes off the first power play unit? Is it Doan?
Mm.
Because Zucker's probably your net front. I'm not touching Norris. Is it Benson? Maybe try to give you a little balance on the second unit? Or is it even Zucker that goes to the second unit instead?
Well, I mean, they're in a run, though, where they can shake up the first power play unit just because they it's not like they're scoring like the wind on that group.
Right.
So, I mean, they could break it up.
But I also like that Benson's more puck dominant. I like Norris on the power play because they make smart decisions. And they create dangerous chances. And it's not just the Tage one-timer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that part's going to be interesting to me. What do they do? Because, honestly, I might say it probably is Benson that gets moved down, but that's a guy that's got 5 points on the power play already this year. He's only played 25 games.
Right. But also,
this is fun. Norris has 5 points in 12 games on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
He's a smart puck mover. I'm thinking it's... Oh, my God. I don't know. Because I think it might be Benson that gets moved down. Because then the second unit has that puck dominant player.
Right, right.
You have Quinn for the quick shots. And then you've got Zucker, who still is tied for the lead in power play points with 9. Coming back. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
It's why it's fun, though. And it's better to make these decisions when you're winning than when you're losing. You're like, we've got to fix something.
Right. That's the sickening thing about all this, is that they're winning.
Right. They've got issues, but they're winning. And that's – I mean, we say it with the Bills, too. It's, you can get an ugly win because you get all the positives of the win, but you also have to learn from it. And those ugly ones, Cleveland, Baltimore, all the way back in week one. You know, Philadelphia this week, probably the same thing. Sabres keep winning, and they're doing well. But there are some issues there. We'll take a little bit of a pause here from the Buffalo Sabres as it is Tuesday. It's not 11 o'clock, it's 11:11. But it is time now for our weekly Primetime Players, which is brought to you by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal. And Derek, I mentioned it to start today when we were kind of previewing this. A lot of good performances. I've even gotten to basketball a little bit. I know that usually happens around Christmas. I don't watch a lot of the games, but I'll check in on them. We got there a little bit. We'll start, though, with, of course, our honorable mentions. I've got 3 this week.
I've got 4, so let's get to hammering these out. One is actually a joint honorable mention. It's Buffalo defenseman Matias Samuelsson and Bowden Byram for their respective 3-point efforts. Samuelsson against Boston and Byram against Ottawa. Those are performances that need to be singled out a little bit here as to how great they were in extending the win streak from the last time that we talked about this. So there's the first one there. I mean, we're just going to go hammering these out because we don't have as much time as we usually do for these sorts of things. Staying on the ice, Nathan MacKinnon, Colorado Avalanche, a team that has lost 2 times in regulation. That's disgusting. MacKinnon with a goal and assist last night, including his 399th career goal. So the next one will be 400 for him. Good for him. But it's also his 22nd multi-point game of the year that leads the league this season.
It's absolutely incredible. For me, I'm going to ultimately have 2 players from last night's game, both on Atlanta. One is going to be in the top 5, one is the honorable mention. I had a little bit of a tough run this morning of who I wanted to put in the top 5. I ultimately settled on it. So with that being said, Bijan Robinson is going to be my first honorable mention. 195 yards rushing last night, 2 total touchdowns. And then just in a total season look at him, Derek, he's at well over 2,000 yards from scrimmage, 11 touchdowns, just an unbelievable year by him, and very much, I think, again, kind of a quiet 1,400-yard rushing season from him, back-to-back years with that, only 7 touchdowns, 14 last year, but just Bijan Robinson, an incredible player, a 95-yard touchdown last night as well in the Falcons' upset win over the Rams. I'll keep this going. I also have Scotty Barnes of the Toronto Raptors on here.
Okay.
First 2020 triple-double in Raptors history is from earlier this week when they took down Golden State, a 23-25-10 stat line for Scotty Barnes.
All right, just to wrap up my honorable mentions here, I've got New England Patriots quarterback Drake May. His biggest crime is against the Jets. 256 yards. He only missed 2 passes, 19 of 21, and 5 touchdowns.
But it's against the Jets, dude. What can I really do with this and really sing home to it? And I also do have Bijan Robinson here as an honorable mention to wrap that one up for this portion of primetime players.
I also went with Drake May, and again, he was also punished because it was against the Jets, and yeah, I thought that was one of the most lifeless performances I've seen in a little while. Drake May, though, I know Buffalo fans are not going to like to hear this, but after Matthew Stafford the last 2 weeks or so, losing to Seattle and then three interceptions yesterday, I think Drake May is going to be the MVP.
Probably. It's timely how it's all happened like this, and since Stafford and the Rams don't have a chance at the division anymore, you're probably looking at the guy who played the softest schedule in the league winning the MVP, and it's like, okay, cool. Here comes the opportunity for the Patriots to take a coach of the year, an MVP, when they really didn't play anybody. And I guess that's our problem to deal with. So, cool. Love that.
I want to play him in the first round. I know it's going to be most likely Jacksonville. Man, I want that. I've completely flipped. I want that matchup so bad.
I agree. But I absolutely agree with that.
It does not look likely in the wild card round. Moving, though, on to the top five. The quarterback that beat out Drake May for me to get into the top five is Brock Purdy. Five total touchdowns, the win over Chicago. San Francisco now in pole position for the one seed. Purdy has had a bit of a shaky season, mainly due to injuries. Mac Jones has had to come in there, win games as well. But Purdy, when he's been in this year, for the most part, he's been very, very good. And that continued against Chicago. That was a barn burner, by the way, of a Sunday night game. We were doing overtime show on that night, and it was really hard for me to not just be glued in. Caleb Williams, by the way, could have also had a shout for this as well with his performance. And Luther Burden.
Speaking of Luther Burden. Number five.
Go. Yeah.
Eight catches, 138 yards, and a touchdown. He was really a big factor within Chicago being able to move the football all throughout the evening and allowed for several Bills fans to punch air because, you know, that was a player that they could have had at the end of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison's great, though, so let's not worry about that. But some fans are probably like, ah, like, you know.
Right.
Again, the board isn't staring at me or anything.
That's fine. That's fine.
But yeah, no, Burden has been fantastic, and he is playing a little bit more consistently. But this is one of those, like, hey, this is your big time. And even then, he has a rough drop on the last drive. They do ultimately make up for it. And he even is banged up on the final play as he is desperately trying to dive across.
It does
to,
look like he's going to be okay.
Yeah, but
you, yeah.
Like, oh, man. It's injury to insult on that play because he dives across to try to make the catch and it just doesn't go. And then he's still down on the field as the 49ers are celebrating.
Mm-hmm. Number four for me, rookie safety, Xavier Watts for Atlanta. So this is the Falcons player that gets on the list. Just for me, an incredible performance. Another player that I know a lot of Bills fans have kind of been beating the drum for. Wasn't a first round pick or even a second round pick. He was a little bit later on the draft, but has been really just superb for the Falcons since day one. Two picks, so two of the three for Stafford, three pass breakups and four tackles. As I mentioned, the win over LA. He'd be a lot of fun with Cole Bishop. He'd be a lot of fun. Is what it is. On to the next. Xavier Watts, though, number four for me.
Don't get me depressed because I'm going to talk about them in a little bit in Atlanta there. Because number four, I'm sticking with that game between the Bears and the 49ers. You already mentioned Brock Purdy. I'm going to bring him up here in number four. Purdy was fantastic in the win for San Francisco, 303 yards, three passing touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns. He totals five of them in the day, including one that was highlight reel.
Mm-hmm.
One might say Josh Allen-esque, if I'm going to say it like that. No. That was just great by Brock Purdy. I don't need to throw another quarterback into this. And I hate when commentators do this, so I'm not going to do that. I brought it up just so I can say, no, I don't like when people do this. That was an awesome play by Brock Purdy. He's scrambling around. He gets flushed out to the left, dances around two Bears defenders trying to sack him, and then after the pump fake, opens up Kyle Juszczyk on a play that makes this list.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the performance that you typically need for that.
Absolutely. These next three for me, all three could be number one. It really did just come down to how they're going to be listed based off of just the importance, eyeballs on you, the whole thing. So at number three, it's Kawhi Leonard of the LA Clippers. Okay. He ultimately gets on here. It's just a regular season game. It is what it is. However, the stat line is ridiculous. 55 points, 11 rebounds, 5 steals, and 3 blocks in the win over Detroit. So only problem, again, is the next two. One, definitely a more important game. The other, just symbolically, was a more important game. So Kawhi Leonard, though, gets it number three for me.
All right, number three for me is Baltimore Ravens running back Derrick Henry. Henry keeps the Ravens season alive with a dominant performance against Green Bay. 36 carries, 216 yards, and four touchdowns. Who's washed? There were a lot of dips in the season with Derrick Henry in terms of his production. And then a week prior, he is benched throughout the fourth quarter, annoyingly so, to where the Ravens, they almost were done for the year, if not for an incomplete pass at the last play of Pittsburgh against Cleveland.
I have Derrick Henry coming up next as well.
Yeah. So,
and just for me, it's four touchdowns, 36 carries. He is the reason they beat Green Bay. He's also the reason why their season's still alive. You know, now we do have the make or break kind of game against Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's going to be down DK Metcalf, down Darnell Washington, and we saw what the Bills could do running the ball. I think it'd be ridiculous to not have at least somewhat, I mean, that's still an insane stat line, but have somewhat the same kind of game plan going in. Also, I do want to mention, if James Cook does not play,
Derrick Henry could, with a monster performance, steal it.
I think just kind of an average Derrick Henry performance. He's 137 yards back against a bad Pittsburgh Steelers rush defense. Mm-hmm. I think there's a real chance here. I know we're all looking at Jonathan Taylor, and Taylor will play before Cook. So, I mean, if Taylor passes him, Cook maybe can get him for a half to try to just extend it. But Henry will play Sunday night. There's a real chance he could capture another rushing title, and I think already there, but fully secure what should be a first ballot Hall of Fame career. Derrick Henry comes in at number two for me.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about Pittsburgh in a sense, but like, how can you let a Ravens team that started off 1-5 have a chance at the division? Well, so, you know, shame on you. Number two, though, for me, I'm combining the efforts of the Falcons secondary into this one. You already had Xavier Watt in here with the two interceptions. Jesse Bates returns one for a touchdown as well. So I'm looking more at the Falcons secondary frustrating Matthew Stafford in a way that effectively helps him lose the MVP. The Falcons also managed to within one victory here. On the heels of secondary play from Watts and Bates here, they do a triple threat against the Rams. The Falcons, with this victory, keep the Rams from any chance at winning the NFC West. Take away, effectively, Matthew Stafford's best odds at an MVP. And moves down the first-round pick that they were given by the Falcons.
Yeah.
What do you mean they slapped me three times?
That's a bad Monday. That's a bad Monday for the Rams.
What do you mean all of this happened? Stop. And I find that funny of how they managed to like hit the Rams with three different types of damage.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. That I love that Falcons defense.
That Falcons team is
super frustrating.
And now the Falcons even have a chance to do damage from afar again.
Mm-hmm.
It is now set up thanks to the Falcons' win. And I don't know how this works. Is it because of tiebreakers?
I believe it's tiebreakers.
Oh, my God, that's right, because 8-9, they'd be tied for division record. Ew. But now it is set up where the Falcons, if Tampa Bay beats Carolina, Carolina can still win the NFC South with a Falcons victory against the Saints. Atlanta is having the weirdest season of all time, and that's on their standards.
Right. Panthers, Bucks, that's Saturday 4:30. Saints, Falcons, Sunday at 1 p.m.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so.
Waiting on bated breath if it's a Tampa win? Ew.
At least you get it somewhat out of the way early. Oh, like, that would be frustrating if it was a 4:25 game or, God forbid, the Sunday night game. That would be frustrating.
I would hate every bit of that. Well, I would hate, why is Atlanta playing New Orleans on Sunday night with nothing to play for?
Yeah, fair. Number one for me. Mentioned it, you know, just kind of the circumstance. Christmas Day games in the NBA. I think Christmas is still dominated by the NBA, especially this year with the football games being as bad as they were. And it was the late game. But Nikola Jokic, 56-point triple-double in an overtime win over Minnesota. He also then had a 54-point triple-double in a one-point loss against Orlando later that weekend. He did pick up a knee injury, though, last night, so that's not ideal.
Well, yeah, he's tired of carrying them.
Well, yeah, but Nikola Jokic continues to be
110 points in two games?
Yeah, this generation, especially the generation that watches basketball, because I know we're in Buffalo, it's not a ton, but, you know, bear with me here. they're going to talk about him like Larry Bird, in the sense of he will be like a folk hero. Like, most of the Larry Bird stories you hear about is like keeping the jacket on right before the three-point contest and stuff like that. Jokic is going to be that guy of, guys, he didn't want to play basketball. He just wanted to go hang out with his horses. Unbelievable. He hated the game.
Yeah,
and he
true.
Still did this. Like, he is going to be a folk hero. Michael Jordan, kind of the same thing as well. Of just the legend around him will grow as the years go. 56-point triple-double, overtime win over Minnesota Christmas night.
Let me try to test your memory real quick here, Zach. Who was my number one last week?
Oh, the Buffalo Sabres.
Guess who's number one this week?
Buffalo Sabres.
Nine in a row, baby.
Nine in a row.
Nine in a row. Topping it off here with the primetime players for the second week in a row. It is my Buffalo Sabres, your Buffalo Sabres, everyone's Buffalo Sabres at number one. Once again, happy holidays. Yeah, filthy animals.
They keep on rolling.
They keep on rolling here, and that is our primetime players. Again, sponsored by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal. And speaking on those Buffalo Sabres,
we'll get more with them. Paul Hamilton on the way next. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. And Paul, you said this like a month ago, they needed to go on a 7-plus, even 10-game win streak to get back into it. Well, they're at 9. They're getting close.
Well, I was wrong because I did say 10.
Did say
and
10.
And if you go by points percentage, they're in. Right now, they are tied with Florida in points percentage. Florida has the tiebreaker, so they would be 7th. Buffalo would be 8th. Washington, just percentage points behind, in 9th.
Ah, they have played one more game, yeah.
Okay. So I was off by one game. That's why, as you know, that's why I always go by points percentage, because it gives you a better idea, because it takes games in hand out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the end of the year, of course, you don't have to go by points percentage anymore because everybody will have played 82 games. But during the season, I think it's a better barometer just to go by points percentage. Then you don't got to say, well, they have two games in hand or they've played two more or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Points percentage takes care of that for you. So it took a 9-game winning streak to put them in playoff position by points percentage.
And Paul, I mean, like this, we've talked about this both off air, on air. I mean, this run they've been on has been really something. It's maybe most impressive two things. It's the exact same team that Kevin Adams built. Jarmo Kekalainen has not actually gotten to put a stamp yet on this organization, and it's been predominantly on the road, Paul. Like, this is a team that could not win road games, and now where we sit, they're 8-9-2 on the road. They're not above 500, but if that's going to be like around what you are on the road, and especially when what you are at home, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, and they started off 0-5-2 on the road. So, you know, I think I was saying this earlier to Joe and Nate, that if they make the playoffs, I think the game to look back at would be the game on the road in Detroit, where they were behind 4-1. It was when Dahlin had gotten back from Sweden, and they were behind 4-1, and they came back and won that game on the road. You know, where they hadn't won on the road. And I think that might be the game to point to should they make the playoffs. And, you know, we'll see. It's still a long ways to go. I mean, we haven't even hit the halfway point of the season yet. And that's, you know, what they've been talking about, you know, when I was on the pregame with Bo Byram last night. And he talked about it. Lindy Ruff also talked about it in his segment on the pregame that they got to keep going. I mean, it just took 9 straight wins just to barely get into the playoff spot. Well, now you have to stay there. You still have half a season to go. So you still can't go on a 6-7-8 game losing streak. If you do, you're going to ruin everything that you made up here. As Bo Byram says, they have to continue to play the brand of hockey that they're playing right now. And are you going to lose at some point? Sure you are. I mean, they're not going to win every game for the rest of the season, but it's what do you do after the loss? Okay, you lost a game. You can't lose 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 5 or whatever. You have to get back to the way you've been playing, the way you know you can play, the way you finally have figured out that you need to play to win, which is the way Lindy Ruff has been trying to convince them for 2 years now to play, and they finally seem convinced that they're going to do that. And so that's the thing. All right, let's say you lose in Dallas, which they could. Dallas is a pretty darn good team. Okay, what do you do in Columbus then? You know, do you get it right back and go? Or you lost one game. Even if you lost two, okay. But you gotta stop it there. Because now that you've got in playoff position, now the trick is you have to remain there.
Right, and Paul, we were talking about this, me and Derek, of just, you know, that's going to be the most important part. Because you're going to have a lot of fans that have bad memories of 18 and 19 where they won 10 in a row, and that was earlier in the season. They had built up some goodwill, and it just all collapsed. And I think even in that season as well, right after the win streak, they lose 5 in a row. And you brought up the schedule coming up. Like, let's say for argument's sake, they do lose to Dallas. But it's Columbus, Vancouver, and the Rangers on the road. And the reason why I say that, especially for them, they're bad at home. And then they've got 5 straight home games in January. Like, the January schedule looks good for them to maybe keep this run going, not necessarily the win streak itself going, but just the good run of play. And, yeah, I mean, like, it's ultimately the same team that was built and the same team that started off poorly this year, but there's also good signs as well. Guys like Jason Zucker, starting to practice and hopefully going to be back in the lineup here pretty soon.
I think he probably could have played last night, but why mess with success? I mean, and he understands that. He was talking when he was back at practice, and he was kidding that, my team doesn't need me anymore. They're 7-0 without me. And
fair.
he was kind of kidding around. But he understands, you know, as what coaches are going to do. Why would you mess with the line? Who are you taking out, you know, to put him in? So maybe he's got to wait his turn, even though he played really, really well, you know, before he got hurt again. And by the way, while you were speaking, I looked it up. As we mentioned, they were 0-5-2 to start the season on the road. In their last, that was their 6th in a row on the road, and in their last 12 on the road, they're 8-4.
They completely turned it around with this win streak.
Yeah,
right. So that's awesome.
And not to mention, though, Paul, one of the biggest things that I'm starting to look at through the progression of this season is the year-to-year jump that happened this season with Matias Samuelsson. The guy has been everything for the Sabres this year, and it's starting to get to, like, okay, he was good when he got the contract extension, but this is something else that we haven't seen from Samuelsson this consistently in his game, and it's starting to rival Tage Thompson's ascension into being one of the top players on this team. Now Samuelsson's taking this kind of equal important jump that is really helping to stabilize the defensive core.
I'm glad you said that, because he did play very well when he first started with the Sabres, and I had wondered out loud before this season started, when there were quite a few fans that wanted him bought out. Well, if he was bought out, first of all, he would have been on payroll for 10 years, which is not good business.
Oh, yeah, nope.
But he did play very well in the beginning. He got a contract extension too early, I think, and that was one of the minuses against Kevin Adams, and it wasn't all minuses. I always like to be fair and say a lot of his trades were good. His free agent signings, Zucker was good, but some of the others weren't great. It's kind of the inactivity. But anyway, you know, they really mishandled their young players in that group, and he was one of them. He only spent 50-ish games in the AHL. He came up, and I wondered out loud, are injuries, have they just taken its toll on his body? Is he going to ever be able to get back? Well, that question has been answered. He's gotten back and more. In my estimation, he's been Buffalo's best defenseman from start to finish in this season. Now, Rasmus Dahlin is probably their best player, and you're saying, well, how can one be the best defenseman and the other the best player? They play two totally different games. And last night, I made a mistake last night. In the first period, I was kind of ripping into that pair, and what I should have been saying is, remember, there was the 3-day break where no team could practice and no team could play. Well, Dahlin went 2 more.
Right.
You know, where before the regular Sabres play, they had the morning skate against the Boston Bruins. Dahlin just basically got to St. Louis and it's less play. And it showed in the first period. That pair really got beaten pretty badly for two goals. But then, in the final 40 minutes, they were Samuelson and Dahlin again. I mean, they recovered totally from it. And that's when I started thinking, you know what? I was too hard on them in the first period. I know they were not good on the first two goals. Neither was Lyon. But I think the thing you have to realize, too, is the last goal scored by the St. Louis Blues was at the 8:09 mark of the first period. Lyon slammed the door after that. That pair slammed the door after that. Samuelson made a great play on the tuck tying goal in the second period. Again, erasing a play, getting up ice, getting the puck to tuck, and it's in the net, joining the play. So I think that's all that was in the first period. It's just, you know, Dahlin had to ramp up again, you know, and get going, and he did. And, you know, and I'll say it again for people that weren't listening earlier, it doesn't really matter when you look at the whole game that Lyon, some would say Lyon should have had the first two goals. I don't disagree with that. But he also slammed the door starting at 8:09 of the first period and made some great saves, including when he had to scramble back in the net right before Kretz got the empty netter, and he did it without his catching glove. He lost that, you know, and you know, that's Lyon. He scratches and claws to make saves. Lukin in the same way. There were some people didn't like the Lukin goal. I got that right away against Boston. But it's the only goal he gave up. So it's a 4-1 win. He made some big saves along the way. What does it matter if he let in a goal from the red line? It doesn't matter. He let in one goal.
I mean,
that's fine. If he lets in one goal from the red line every single game and that's the only goal he lets in, he's going to be a really good goalie.
I would at that point be looking at coaching and be like, guys, shoot from the red line. Forget conventional with this guy. Just shoot from the red line if this is happening.
And Lyon kind of did the same thing. It was like, all right, the first two goals, maybe you don't like them, but that was it. He slammed the door after that was over, and the Sabres were able to come back and win the hockey game.
Paul, I'm glad. And real quick on this, I'm glad you brought up the goaltending on this, because who would you play here against Dallas? I mean, Lyon played really well against St. Louis after those two bad goals. Lukanen's playing pretty well here. It does seem like there's a two-goalie rotation that seems to be working again. Who'd have thunk it when you have two goalies? And again, it's unfortunate how it happened, Ellis with the concussion, but it is something that I'm going to be curious about. Who gets the start in net? Who would you put in net if you had to make the decision, Paul?
I'm getting the feeling you're right about the two-goaltender rotation. I didn't like Lukanen starting against the Bruins, even though he might have had his best game in his last game against the Devils, a road victory for him, his first road win of the year. But I think one of the reasons this team has gone on this streak, and before the streak started, what we were sitting here saying, it's like, pick a goalie and go with him. At that point, I didn't care who they picked. Call up Levi if you want to. I don't care who. Let Scott Ratzlaff do it. Whatever.
Oh, boy. Just pick somebody. You know,
pick somebody and let them treat them like the number one goaltender and let him, because none of the three goalies could get on a roll. So let them get on a roll. And he did that with Lyon. And Lyon responded. Lyon hadn't won a game since the Toronto game in October. And now he's won every game he's played in since. And he won all the games on the streak except the one in New Jersey where it was time for Lukanen to play, and that was fine. But coming out of break, it's like, well, why are you breaking up what's working here? This has worked for you for this winning streak, which at the time was 7. Why are you changing it? What are you doing? Well, it worked. Lukanen played and beat the Bruins 4-1. And before the Sabres left on the trip, I asked Lindy Ruff for the 3-game road trip. I said, are both goalies going to play? And he said, well, I'm not going to give away my goaltending, but he said, probably. He goes, you'd probably be right with that. So it seems like maybe what you're saying is true. Maybe they are going to start alternating now. But I thought he took an awfully big chance. When your team's on a roll, it kind of like the Zucker thing. I think Zucker might have been able to play yesterday, but why change anything in your forwards? You love that last line, the Dunn line. I mean, they're in the offensive zone the whole game. They're softening up the D by hitting them every time they get a chance. So why switch it up? Now, Zucker might get the opportunity to play in Dallas because they're still doing this thing with Greenway. They're managing him. And Greenway, I think, has been better because of it. I think, you know, he's playing his best hockey right now. So this might be a management game for Greenway where it's time for him to come out. That might be the opportunity to put Zucker in. So, yeah, I it's a long-winded answer here, but I think you're right. I think maybe they're going to start alternating here and see if that works. So far, so good. So far, each goaltender has played coming out of the break, and both have won the hockey game.
We'll see what happens tomorrow night. It's another 8 p.m. start time, 7 p.m. pregame as they're at Dallas. Paul, thanks so much for jumping on with us, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
Okay, I was going to say Happy New Year, but if we're going to talk again tomorrow, then I will wait.
I was going to say, well, I'll definitely at least talk to you tomorrow before pregame, but we might. If not,
if we don't have you on, I'll at least text you, and then you can ignore it.
Well, I wasn't talking to you when I said Happy New Year. I was talking to your partner here.
Paul,
I'm sure you would really think I'm talking to you.
Well, I mean, I'm part of the show, Paul. Maybe you're talking to both of us.
You are?
Well, you're not anymore, Hamilton. We got to get to the break.
Bye. See you, Paul.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline.
We will also see, by the way, if the Sabres can get to 10 games in a row, which would be for the fourth time in history. The last time, 18-19, they also won 10 games in a row in 06-07 and 83-84. We'll see if they can do it for a fourth time in franchise history tomorrow when they're at Dallas. We'll take a quick time out here. We'll also read some of your tweets as well. See if you're buying into the Sabres when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we do wrap up a Tuesday morning here on WGR. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. And let's get connected to our fans. We've been doing most of this morning, which is brought to you by Northtown Kia, West New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We've been mainly taking phone calls, Derek, but we've got a lot of tweets as well.
I got a show tweet up on this. Are you bought in on this crazy season? Or are you still keeping them at arm's length? And we got some balance on this. Joe tweeting in, probably my favorite. You know what? We'll save that one for last. A couple of them here. Rita tweeting in, definitely not bought in at this point. Conference is close and playoffs are far from a guarantee. Same kind of sentiment from AJ. Nope, been burned too many times. I'll buy in when I see an X next to their name in the standings. LG, I'm not buying in until the clinch of a playoff berth. I've seen this before. So your past history does not really award you total immunity in this, Sabres, but we've also got the other side of this. Osolus tweeting in, I was bought in after seeing win number 5 in a row live. So we're seeing some of these interesting things here. Metal Guy, I've watched the last 2 games on TV, haven't watched any games on TV with the Sabres in probably 3 years. So yes. And a couple of them, interestingly, bringing up Kevin Adams. Corbin saying, even though the streak started with Adams as a GM, do we think the players were informed of the change prior to the trip? Jim also tweeting in, the win streak may have started with Adams as GM, but the players knew what was coming after the road trip. That is what propelled the winning streak. I'm uncertain. It's still too early to tell. And then my favorite one, Joe, tweeting in here, bought in. I've had my heart broken by Buffalo sports many times. If this falls apart, what's one more?
Such a healthy attitude. I like that. I like that. That's such a healthy attitude.
That is how you live life right
now. I'm not scared. It is what it is. Let's ride.
Yeah, like, let's have our fun.
I can understand a lot of the negative ones, too, of just like, no, I've seen this before. I need the playoffs to be fully bought in. I said it earlier in the show. I won't fight you on that at all. I totally get it. I'm having fun. We also got to cover this team, like, every day. So, like, there's a certain sense of, like, I can't just close them out and wait for the X to be next to their name, right? And I'd be fair, I don't really want to. Like, I'm having fun. It feels like the Bills breaking the drought again, too, where I've got that same kind of, you know, almost goosebumps feeling about them of this feels so fresh and new and it's exciting. And, yeah, it's because it's a playoff drought. It is, in fact, fresh and new. And then, of course, I've mentioned I do think there is a bit of a correlation to the Adams firing and how it came to be. We'll see if that's – I mean, we'll probably never know if that's actually a correlation, but we'll see if the Sabres make a move and if it changes anything. But it's a little bit down the road. The Sabres are in action tomorrow night. But for more on the Sabres, coming up next, Sabres Live. This is WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.